Last Sunday, if you were following the lectionary, you would have had this. And actually, this is from Tabgha, the chapel near Capernaum, where Jesus had his lodgings, and where it's reckoned the feeding of the 5,000 took place. And here we have it again. I've taken pictures. I hope it's not patented. Don't tell me, but I think it's lovely, the loaf. Who made the loaf? Is it the local bakers?
Local bakery.
Local bakery. Good on them. Wonderful. And we don't know the name of this boy. The account, actually, of the feeding of the 5,000 is in every gospel. That's how important it was. And we don't know the name of the boy. Isn't it interesting? But what a significant lad. Andrew says, here's a lad. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus multiplied them. This is actually a plate made at that place, which hangs in our kitchen over the Aga to remind us whenever we eat food, you know, that it's actually the Lord who's the provider. Now, most people in Africa farm with one of these. In East Africa, they have a long hoe on it, handle on the hoe. In West Africa, it's a shorter one like this. This is my one, which we used to grow around. That's the things with. You'll remember that from West Africa and Jambi, as it's called, from East Africa. And it's hard work. But mind you, the capital cost of that. I was looking at a new seed drill the other day, 10,700 quid plus VAT. Well, we could get a tractor. When we, Peter Batchelor, who used to live in this county, my mentor in these things, when he went out to Nigeria in 1950, he took a massive an old Fergie, grey Fergie, £200 it was, including boxing it up and shipping it from Britain to Nigeria. Can you believe it? The whole tractor and everything. Now, you can't even get a tyre for a tractor for less than £700 for with these big tractors. Anyway, so the typical farmer in the world is just like that lady here. She's female, and also she's got her baby on her back. So the child knows where its food comes from a very early age. And it also knows about farm work, and it joins in as soon as it can walk and toddle, actually in doing some work. I work with the Maasai quite a bit, and I remember one morning I wrote a poem all about it, because the children get up, and they've all got a job. From the tiniest, who can only just walk, their job is to look after the youngest lambs, and they've made a special little pen where those little lambs stay overnight to protect them from, I mean, it's lion country, as you know, East Africa. And then the next ones, a little bit taller, they go and collect wood and bring it back on their heads. The next girl, a little bit older, she's out there sweeping the yard. The next lad, he's milking the goat. They always milk the goats. I don't know whether Jeff has seen them in East Africa, but they milk the goats through the back two legs. We normally milk from the side, as we do with cows, I think. Goats, don't we? You don't milk them through the back. Anyway, they do that. And then the next one is milking the cows, and they've all got a job, you know, all the children. So talk about the labor profile, talk about actually apprenticeship. They're learning it as they grow. And many people grow, like my friend here. He is actually a farmer and an Anglican vicar in Uganda, Richard Tumushabe. And you can see his crops there. It's a whole mixture. The one up above is passion fruit. He's got cassava there. He's got maize. He's got these ones are taros, root vegetable to feed to the pigs and so on. And here is Duncan. Duncan, the story of Duncan, Jeff and I and Liz, is interesting. I support, not heavily, but I've known for years, Farming Christian Link, FCL, not to be confused with FCN. That is a Christian ministry amongst farmers that goes to agricultural shows in this country and gives out Bibles and Christian literature. Somehow, a bit of a leaflet torn off was floating around on a bush path in the middle of Kenya, and Duncan, on the left there, picked it up. So he wrote to Bernard Hicks, who's the General Secretary of Farming Community Link, Farmers Christian Link, and a great long letter. five sides of A4, some in biro, some in pencil, no mobile phone, no address, except a P.O. box number at the post office in Njoro, if anyone knows Kenya, sort of central Kenya, really. Anyway, Bernard sent it to me, and he put God's favorite prayer on a post-it note on this letter, and he just sent it through the post. Help! Exclamation mark. Because he knew I worked overseas and in Africa. And I read this letter and I thought, this bloke is genuine. It's not just yet another begging letter. If you have any connections with Africa and other Asia or whatever, people who are struggling, you'll get begging letters. You have to sift out the genuine from the other. I thought, this is a chap who's on the ball. He said he was a Christian. He said he was 43 years old. This is 3 years ago now. He said, I want to uplift my people. We're being maltreated. So I researched how maltreated they've been. And I and a Kenyan professor friend have just put in a paper, literally last week, for the International Farm Management Association about this tribe, the Ogiek tribe, because they are being evicted from their homes, like the late Uncle Bob. Remember Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe? Turfing people out of their villages, burning homes, and so on. That's what the Kenya government has been doing in this part of Kenya. Putting a big fence round and then planting trees, not interesting indigenous trees, but serried ranks of eucalyptus and other things like that, all paid for with so-called carbon credits from companies that are polluting the planet, like Netflix and all the rest of them. Anyway, so Duncan said, I want to uplift my people and I want to improve our community. So anyway, we've been trying quietly to help. And I went to visit him 2 years ago now, and I keep in fairly regular touch, and so does Jeff. And we have emails. Some of them are about what to preach on this next Sunday or some spiritual issue. It might be something about history. Tell me about your kings in England was one of them, you know. But other times it'll be, I've got a problem with my chickens. What's wrong with them? And so on. Anyway, next. This is, I hope, of interest to you. You'll all know what it is. I saw one of these in Kenya. I was in the bush in Kenya. And by the time I got my little camera that I always keep in my pocket like I do now, to take pictures, you know, on the spot, you can do this. You just open it out and click away like that, you see, and you can take a picture of West Camel Church. I'm not going to post it anyway because I don't know how to do it. But I wanted to do that with this kingfisher in the bush. And I just found myself praying a short prayer. Oh, Lord, your creation's wonderful. I would have loved to take a picture of that bird. Little thinking, the next morning I'm in Uganda. And we're running, a Ugandan friend of mine who's now in heaven, and I were running a workshop for farmers. I go into the conference room where we're about to have the meeting, and hidden between the bars of a wooden chair is this little bird, absolutely terrified. It had got itself in there, didn't know how to get out. So I picked it up, and I gave it to my Ugandan friend. I said, just put it on your hand for a minute while I take a picture. And I didn't have the presence of mind to turn the video camera on and get a recording, because as soon as the bird saw freedom, it was off like a shot. But isn't it beautiful? The African malachite kingfisher. God cares for his creation, and most farmers do. I was with a farmer the other day, and he saw in the distance a kestrel. He said, I haven't seen kestrels for a long time on this farm. And there was a tear rolled down his cheek. He was a sort of big, burly, sort of blindside wing forward farmer, but he was impressed at that. Now we get to today's story, the gospel account. Jesus arriving, the 10 lepers. We used to have lepers coming to our door in Nigeria. Several of our mission colleagues worked full time with lepers. Others we've known with lepers. You're not supposed to call them lepers now. It's not politically correct. It's people with leprosy. But what I want to tell you is the Bible says you and I have leprosy. Did you know that? The Bible calls it sin, and it's not fashionable to talk about sin. But we, all of us, fall short. I'd love to meet you afterwards if you don't and find out how you don't fall short of God's standard. We all fall short. The Bible calls that missing the mark, sin. And Jesus is the only remedy for our sin. And he was the only remedy for those people with leprosy who hailed him. And he actually cured 10. And how many came back? One. How many people in Somerset last year were fed with good food? What percentage of the residents of Somerset would you guess? I would guess 100%. I'm not aware of anybody who went totally without food. But what percentage are at a harvest festival somewhere saying thank you to God? Nowhere near even 10%, I'm afraid. Gratitude, very important. Thankfulness for deliverance from that. And when you see people who have been literally cured of leprosy, it's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And in our little church, which is like yours, it's got a 13th century walls, it's St. Nicholas in Ringmore, near Sheldon, and there is a leper window. And there it is. And there's the one who's coming back to say thank you to Jesus. He's still, if you look very closely at it, he's still got some marks of leprosy on his arms, but he's coming to say thank you very much. I'm now trusting you. And Jesus says, go, your faith has made you whole. And in many projects, we look to link the material, food, resources to help yourself rather than handouts. And this was a group in Kenya, 25 farmers, most of them ladies, and they had between them 50 hens, which doesn't sound many, but that gave them a proper business, enough to pay school fees for their children, enough to have the dignity of labor. I want you to meet Agnes briefly now. Agnes lives in Uganda. She's got a typical Ugandan dress on, ladies, with the sort of wings on here, you know, sticking up. And she did very well with her chickens. You know, the Bible says, looking at chickens like that, Jesus said when he looked over Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you refused. I was sitting in a garage yesterday and getting the puncture repaired on my car, which I fortunately spied lunchtime yesterday so that I could drive down here. And I sat with a very nice chap. We had a very good conversation. And after a bit, he said, you know, money, there's too many people chasing money. So I said, yes. I said, as the Bible says, it's the love of money, not money. Money's okay. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Have you got a Bible? No. Would you like one? No, I wouldn't. And, you know, you can't force a Bible on someone, but I offered him this Gideon Bible, this one actually, and he said no. I hope he won't live to regret it. But Agnes was already a Christian. Her friends said, you've made a lot of money with those chickens. Why don't you double the flock? No, she said, I'm going to do something else first. Maybe later I'll increase the flock. I'm going to use the chicken muck to make compost. I'm going to use the compost to grow cabbages, which is the next picture at the top. And when I've sold enough cabbages and enough eggs and enough chickens, I'll save up money to put a tin roof on my hut and put a bit of guttering in and put a water catchment. That's Duncan's next stage, by the way. He's got torrential rain falling on that barn. He's got no guttering. He needs to have, catchment. And that's something that farmers can copy elsewhere. Otherwise, the water just goes to waste. And then in the dry season, the crops are dying unnecessarily when the water could have been captured. So that was Agnes's approach, and it worked very well. We'll go to Malawi, and then we're nearly there. This is working together with goats. Now, I didn't know that Jeff milked 40 goats, was it? He used to at one time. These are owned by different people in Malawi, and they're working together. Because when I'm working with farmers in Malawi, I usually show them a picture of a goat. I say to them, before we start, if I've got the ability to show pictures, that is, I want to show you a picture of your king and queen in Malawi. And they all look surprised. We haven't got a king and queen. Oh, yes, you have. I said, I've been to Malawi many times since the 80s. You've got a king and queen, all right. And then I show them a picture of a billy goat and a nanny goat. And I say, you're farming, you know. Do you know where your goats are?
And everybody laughs because of course they don't know where their goats are. They might eat your trees. Where are your goats, by the way? Well, they might eat your trees. Do you know where they are? No, you don't know. Because the goat is eaten green. It goes where it likes. And so villages fall out because they haven't got any control over the stray livestock. And you don't plant any bananas because his goats might be coming across. So he literally did keep goats, I'm sure you have one. The point is, you know, it's a real issue. And so they start working together to control the goats, and know where the goats are.
Not only that, they capture the dung, because the goats sleep upstairs, as you can see, and all the goat dung is collected. An Irishman said, when he went to a service and he actually became a Christian, he saw Paddy, his friend, become a Christian. And he said, you saw Paddy becoming, yeah, I couldn't believe it. He said, the sins was dropping off him like a goat dunging on a drum. And only an Irishman can say that metaphor, like a goat dunging on a drum, if you can imagine the picture. But these goats dung straight onto below there. Then you collect that, you compost it, your crop yields go up, your soil health improves, and you've got a whole community project, and you've controlled the goats. So it's about joined up thinking. And sometimes you find your bread, if you cast it on the waters, as Ecclesiastes says we should, after many days. I was in the bush in Kenya not many months ago, and this chap came up to me. He said, you're John. I said, yes. He said, you did a workshop, which I came to 25 years ago, and this is what I'm doing now. And he's working with coffee farmers to upgrade their coffee. Finally, back to Malawi, this farmer, we formed a farmers group with him, with 26 farmers in it, and they're producing cassava. Now, cassava is produced from stem cuttings. He's got the stem cuttings in, he's crouching over them. Just short, like about a pencil size. And these cuttings were of a particularly good variety. And the government officials in Malawi came to these farmers and said, look, we'll buy all those cuttings off you. And to their great credit, they said, no, we've promised to plant them on our own farms, and we've all promised to give enough cuttings for an acre to our neighbors. And we'll sell them to you next year, but not now. And that group's still going. And it's called the food security crop in Africa, both in West and East Africa. If it's in sandy soil like that, you can leave the root. It's a root crop. It's very high energy crop. You don't even have to have storage for it. You just harvest it as you want to eat it. And it's a fantastic crop. So that's it. Hopefully, yes.